Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Wednesday. This is Seattle Now. A massive hack of a Sammamish-based web hosting company has revealed the personal information of some of the people behind right-wing extremist groups like QAnon and Proud Boys. In a minute, we'll talk about what researchers and reporters are hoping to learn from all that information. But first, let's get you caught up. Hundreds of Seattle police officers haven't shown proof they've been vaccinated, which they'll need to do in less than 2 weeks to keep their jobs. SPD said late Tuesday that it hasn't seen vax status from 354 officers. But right now, it's not clear yet whether it's a paperwork thing or a refusal to do the thing. They're facing an October 18th deadline set by the mayor for all city employees. Chief Diaz warned of potential staffing shortages and service disruptions over the vaccine requirement last week. Meanwhile, a King County woman has died from an adverse reaction to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Health officials say she was in her late 30s and died from a blood clot less than 2 weeks after getting vaccinated in late August. It's the fourth known fatality associated with the J&J shot nationwide. Public health says more than 12 million doses of the J&J vaccine have been given in King County, with 38 confirmed cases of blood clotting. The majority of these people have recovered. And Amazon isn't going anywhere, but CEO Andy Jassy did say the company's relationship with Seattle has been rougher over the past 5 years. Jassy spoke yesterday at the GeekWire Summit. He also said Seattle alone isn't thought of as the company's HQ1 anymore. That's more of a Puget Sound thing now. Jassy said he expects most of Amazon's future growth here will happen on the east side, in Bellevue, Redmond, and maybe a few other cities.
Fallout continues after a hacking group named Anonymous took responsibility for a massive data breach of Epic, an internet company that registers website domains.
That was CBS News reporting on the recent hack to Sammamish web hosting company Epic. The dump was a huge amount of information about who's behind right-wing extremist groups like QAnon and Proud Boys. To researchers who've been digging for clues, it's an incredible find. Megan Squire is here. She's a professor of computer science who studies online extremism at Elon University in North Carolina, also a senior fellow for data analytics at the Southern Poverty Law Center. And Jason Wilson is here, too. He's a Portland-based investigative reporter for The Guardian who focuses on extremists. Thanks so much to both of you for being here. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, sure thing.
Pleasure to be here.
So, okay, the first thing I want to do is explain what Epic is and what it does and who it does it for. Megan, can you start us off real quick?
Sure. Epic is a web hosting / domain registration / VPN provider. They kind of do a lot of those technical layers of the internet stack, providing services to regular people who want to, you know, purchase a domain or host a website somewhere. But they also have over time become kind of known as a safe haven for folks who maybe want to run more dangerous websites or stuff that has been removed from other more reputable companies.
Right. And Jason, I have heard and read that this is the place where extremist groups who have been booted from other websites will find refuge.
It certainly became that over time. I think it's fair to say that as more normal, more mainstream hosting services, you know, came under pressure from activists and just the general public for hosting extremely problematic extremist material, you know, Mr. Monster began to position his company and his service as a place where, you know, those folks wouldn't have to worry. Others tried that as well, but the kind of infrastructure he set up and the relationships he established meant that, you know, once someone was hosted on Epic, it was very difficult, if not impossible, to exert any pressure on Mr. Monster to remove them.
And you're talking about Mr. Monster, who is Rob Monster, the owner of this web hosting site, Epic, in Sammamish.
Yes, indeed.
Recently, Epic was hacked, and the hack was extensive. Who can put this into context for me? Tell me about what was dumped and what it means.
The hack was actually done in two parts. The first one was more like data that was released from internal systems. And then the second piece was like binary files that would allow you to actually like boot up the system and run it as if you were Epic. So it was a pretty soup to nuts hack. Everything but the kitchen sink was included in this thing.
I've looked at a lot of this stuff as a reporter, and I've never seen anything this comprehensive, this large, with this much information in it. I mean, you can also see the fact that all of the domains are listed with the owners. And what's visible in there is that Monster himself owns thousands and thousands and thousands of domains. Now, it's my understanding that before he was running this service, he was a kind of speculator on domain names, is one of the things he did. And he clearly continued to do that. So I started looking for QAnon stuff, and it turns out that he owns a bunch of QAnon-related domains. Now, he wasn't running websites. I presume he was looking to sell those on to people who might have wanted to run QAnon-related websites. So you can see him kind of looking at trends, looking at opportunities to kind of buy and sell domains as he's running this other kind of parallel business as well.
Now, Megan, you said this information is not very user-friendly, but it is extremely valuable to people like you who are studying these online extremist and hate groups. What does this mean for you to have this amount of information?
Yeah, it's pretty useful for a couple different reasons. I mean, first and foremost, people are going to sift through this and try to figure out identities of folks or who's running such and such domain that they were concerned about, things like that. So that's kind of the first use. One of my long-term projects, though, is studying the effects of deplatforming. So like what happens when people are removed from normal social media or when their web host decides to stop hosting them because of their terrible behavior? What happens next? Well, Rob and Epic were the sort of the dumping ground for a lot of these folks. And so I'm very interested in being able to map out those relationships and be able to see kind of that flow.
Have you learned anything yet that you find interesting?
Yep. Yeah. So there's a few stories that are in the works on that. Some of them have to do with shady behaviors that were going on with the company. Some of them have to do with shady and sketchy behaviors that were going on with folks that were hosting with him. So yeah, these are going to be pretty exciting.
I think just to add to what Megan said, there is a lot of information in the data about who's been running particular websites and all of that kind of stuff. But in general, what I'm finding as well is that if you go beyond the actual data, you start seeing these kind of ecologies and networks where people beyond Epic are running entire networks of sites, social media accounts. And there are these kind of people behind the scenes in this milieu that we haven't necessarily talked a lot about or known about. And, you know, they're doing stuff that goes well beyond what they might have done with Epic. But those of us who are interested in this stuff are going to be looking at this data for a really long time.
Well, and as we have seen, the Capitol riot is an extreme example of what can happen when conspiracy and extremist groups have space online to spread their message and organize. But that is not the bulk of what happens, as I understand it, in this online space. These are not necessarily high-level things that are occurring here. What is normally happening in this space every day?
Yeah, I mean, not everything that happens on these kind of sites is hate speech and extremism, although much of it is. Another important activity that folks sometimes forget about, but it's often the reason why they get removed from social media sites or web hosting providers or whatever in the first place, is because they're engaged in harassment of other users on those platforms. So that is usually a terms of service violation, and we'll get these users banned. And it's a key, I guess, social activity for some of these groups. They do it to bond together and to, you know, find common cause in harassing and bullying other users online. So because of that, they will get removed from platforms. They'll get removed from web hosting providers, et cetera. And they end up in Epic's domain.
You know, hacking is illegal, even though Anonymous says they were justified in doing this. I am curious what position this puts researchers like yourself in, Megan, where the information was illegally obtained, but still so valuable.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you can never ask for something like this, but when it kind of falls into the public sphere, it's like, wow, you know, this is really useful. you can never plan for it or ask for it or anything like that, but it certainly is instructive. I think the key with dealing with information like this is having a plan. It's not about just spelunking through looking for whatever, what are your research questions? What are you trying to solve about the world? What are we trying to do to make this world a better place? How can this data help me with that? And then just tons of people in this data set that really didn't deserve to have their information, plastered all over the place. And so just dealing carefully and thoughtfully with that, I think those are the most important things to keep in mind.
And let's talk about the fallout, because of course there is real fallout from this kind of data dump. Agree with people's ideologies or not, they've lost jobs. There have been impacts from this. What is happening?
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of in the first wave right now. People are still trying to figure out how to deal with the data and how to find the answers to those research questions that they have. I think there's been some low-hanging fruit that was plucked. I think a couple of people have lost their jobs or under investigation, that kind of thing. I think that's going to increase over time as more and more folks get comfortable dealing with this data and finding the facts in it and then confirming those facts. I think there's going to be a little bit more of that. But the kind of sort of larger research projects that it sounds like Jason and I are both interested in are going to be bigger and longer term things that have to do with building out and understanding more complicated networks. So I think there's going to be at least two phases of discovery in this data set. And then there's, of course, the third phase, which is like ongoing after the immediate stories come out and, people are exposed or that kind of thing, networks are discovered. This data set will serve as a useful resource going into the future. What was the history of XYZ domain? Who did own it at this particular point in time? Who was this person and what else did they own? So a story will come out in the future and this data set will be a historical resource for learning more about that person or that domain's history.
Megan Squire and Jason Wilson, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Thanks for listening today. Follow us on Instagram. Find us at Seattle Now Pod. Jenny Cecil Moore produced today's show. Our production team is Caroline Chamberlain Gomez, Claire McGrain, Diana Opong, and Jason Pagano. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. I'm Patricia Murphy.